Come late, you get the best seats.
No, in this chair over here. Okay, boys. Like this. Says the Gemara says in Tainus, Kishim Shemisha, don't show Shemisha the base. Kishim Shemisha Nichnas Av Mimatim Besimcha, Kach Misha Nichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. Just as when Av begins, we go down to the levels of Simcha that we have, so when Adar comes in, we enhance our Simcha. So I heard a Rav this past Shabbos, he asked, I understand, when it comes to Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, when there's a time of a mitzvah d'oraisa to be the Simcha, we don't find this idea that like, in the beginning of Nisan, we all start being happy in preparation for Pesach. In the beginning of Sivan, we all start being happy in preparation for Shavuos. Tishrei, maybe we wouldn't be happy because it's Yom HaDin and it starts to be Tshuva, but there's no mitzvah of Simcha even after Yom Kippur in preparation for Sukkot. The mitzvah of Simcha is only on the day. How come when it comes to Adar, Mishnichnas Adar Marbim Simcha? What is that? So apparently, the Simcha of Purim is something that requires preparation for, as opposed to the Simcha of the Shalosh Regalim, which is something that requires less preparation. The question is, why is that? So after he said that, I checked in the Amud Eish and the Moedim to see if he had anything on that. He did. Luckily for us. So, said very geschmack. What's the difference between the Shalosh Regalim and Purim? The Shalosh Regalim, we're commemorating and celebrating Nisim Gluyim, revealed miracles. Pesach, Hashem did Eser Makos, took us out of Mitzrayim, culminates with Kriyas Yamsuf. Shavuos, we have Maimon Har Sinai, Hashem speaks to the whole nation. You could see that which is usually only heard. Everybody was healed from all their ailments. And Sukkis, Anani HaKavod. So these were all Nisim Gluyim. To celebrate in Nes Nigla is very easy. Because you look at it and it's right there. I don't need to contemplate it. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to prepare myself. Is a Nes Nigla? I can appreciate it in the moment. But when a Nes Nistar is happening, when something is happening al piderech hateva, something is happening in the realm of nature, so if I don't take a minute to step back and consider what's happening in front of me, so I might miss it entirely. I might not even notice what's going on. So the Gemara says in Yuman Daftas, famous Gemara, the first base of Mikdash was destroyed because of our Averos, Avodah Zarah, Gilas, and Shvichos Damim. And the second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And a person could live in that time and say, oh, wow, this is so unfortunate that Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Wow, it's so unfortunate the Romans came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And you could relate to everything al piderech hateva. So mishenichnas av mematim besimcha, because we need to reflect on what's about to happen when we commemorate Tisha B'Av, that even though it looks like it's teva, it's not teva, it's Hashem running the world. And the same thing also by Adar, Mishnichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, that the Nes of Purim is a Nes that happened al piderech hateva, and if you're not looking at it carefully, you might miss the whole thing. And so, already Mishnichnas Adar, we start reflecting on the Nes of Purim, and we find it in the Teva, and that already calls for Simcha from the very beginning of the month. And that's the entire concept of Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, we don't find the Shem Hashem once in Megillas Esther. It doesn't say Hashem's name anywhere. Hashem is hidden in Megillas Esther. Everything is Derech HaTeva. Only through Ramazim, only through hints do we find the Shem Hashem. The name Megillas Esther means, Kedushas Levi points out, Megale Nistar. It means to reveal that which has been hidden. That's the whole Avodah of Purim, is to find Hashem in nature, is to find Hashem in the regular course of our lives. But even in nature, Hashem is still there. Hashem is hiding there. Hashem is hinting to us. We can find Hashem also in nature. If you look in the Megillah, the first word in the Megillah is Vayehi. The last word in the Megillah is Zar'o. Gematria of Vayehi and Zar'o. 314. 314, Kiminyan, Shakai, Shin, Dalid Yud, Hashem's name. Yeah? In the Haggadah of, there's a Haggadah called Alekach Ve'alibuv Haggadah from Avraham Shur. So he quotes his father, from Gedalia Shur, who said a Gishmak Pshat in the name Shakai. The Shem Hashem Shakai, the Gemara says, is Sha'amar Le'olamo Dai. Why is Hashem called Shakai? Sha'amar Le'olamo Dai. Hashem said to his world, that's enough. What does it mean, it's enough? So he explained very beautifully. The world was like, Hashem was like making, and the world was being created. And then he said, enough. Stop. So says Rav Ram Shor from his father, what is the word Olam? Olam is Milashon Ne'elam. Ne'elam means hidden. Hidden. The whole world is called the Olam because Hashem is hidden inside the world. And Hashem, when he created the world, he said, Le'olam Odai. He said to the world, stop. Meaning, even though I'm hiding in the world, I don't want you to cover me up entirely. We're going to limit how much I'm hidden so that if you're looking for Hashem, there's a place where you can find Him. Sha'amar Le'olam Odai means that the hiddenness of Hashem in the world is limited so that He leaves place, a place for those who are searching to find Him. So that's why the Shem Shakai is hinted to with the first word in the Megillah and the last word in the Megillah, Gematria Shakai, because in the story of the Megillah, Hashem is hidden, but if you're searching for Him, He's there to be found. The Gra says in the beginning of the Megillah, in the second Pasuk, he says, a mashal ma'adavar doma. It's a very beautiful Gra, kedai to see it inside. He said, a mashal ma'adavar doma in Perak Aleph Pasuk Beis. He says, a mashal to a king who has a son that he loves very much, and the ministers of his kingdom are jealous of his son, that the king pays him all the attention, the king loves him so much. So one day the son does something wrong, and the king is forced to banish him from the palace. So he sends his son, the prince, out into the forest all by himself. But the king knows that if he sends his son into the forest all by himself, the son is going to be in danger. There's wild animals in the forest, and there's ministers of his kingdom who hate his son, will try to assassinate him. So he calls his kingly guard, the guards of the king, and he tells them, I want you to follow my son into the forest and protect him, but make sure that he doesn't know that you're there. Make sure that he doesn't know that you're following him. So the son is out there in the forest wandering, and he's scared. He's legitimately scared that something's going to happen to him because he's out in the forest with no protection. And all of a sudden, one day, he's traveling in the forest, this bear comes out and attacks him, and out of nowhere, like an arrow shot right in the bear's head, and he like looks around and doesn't see anybody, and he just looks at this dead bear, and he's like, wow, I am a lucky guy, that's amazing. I almost got eaten by that bear, and then somebody shot an arrow and killed the bear. Wonderful. He goes on the next day, all of a sudden the next day he's walking through the forest, and like the king's, that minister who hates him the most, like drops out of a tree right on top of him, and he's got his dagger ready to kill the prince, and all of a sudden, you know, like his head gets sliced off, and the king's minister is killed. And the guy's like, the prince looks up and he's like, my clothes are so dirty. And also he's like, that's crazy. You get the blood, okay, whatever. And he's like, that's crazy. It can't be that this is another coincidence. Obviously my father sent his guards here to make sure I'm okay even in the forest. And the girl says, that's the whole story of Megillas Esther. Megillas Esther, the Jews really felt that they were in danger. We were scared that Haman was going to kill us. And Hashem wanted us to be scared like that so that we'll do tshuva. Just like the king wanted the prince to be out in the forest all by himself and feel scared. Because you have to regret the wrong things that you did, prince. But at the end of the day, Hashem is protecting the prince in the forest also. The king is protecting the prince. Hashem is protecting us in Golus. How did the whole Purim story start? The Sam Sofer says a crazy thing. Where was the whole... What Avera did we do, Chazal say? What Avera did we do that caused us to have to be scared into thinking that we're going to be annihilated? Right? The parallel of being sent into the forest. What was the Avera? Shenenu misudas shosa rasha. We got Hana from the Suda Bachashverosh. That was the Avera. We got Hana from the Suda Bachashverosh. And so we had to be punished. And the punishment was the fear that we were actually going to get killed. But at that very same Suda that we're being punished for, what happened at the Suda? Who was killed?
pandemic.
Vashti was killed at the very same Suda that we're being punished for attending. Hashem is already sewing into the story where the Yeshua, where the salvation is going to come from. And guess what? Whose idea was it to kill Vashti? It was Haman's idea. Haman's idea to kill Vashti. The observer says that's the biggest news of the whole story. The biggest news of the whole story is that Haman is the one who said to kill Vashti. And only because of that, he undid his own plans. That's why the Kedusha Slavi says, we say a bracha on Chanukah and on Purim, Sha'asa nisim lavoseinu, v'yamim ha'heim, bazman hazeh. What is that bracha? Why don't we say that bracha on Pesach? Sha'asa nisim lavoseinu, v'yamim ha'heim, bazman hazeh. Hashem did nisim for us on Pesach. Why don't we say that bracha on Shavuos? Why don't we say that bracha on Sukkot? Why is that bracha for Purim? Why is that for Purim? Because the nes of Purim is the same nes that we have Bizman Hazeh. Hashem did miracles for our forefathers in those days. What types of miracles did He do for them? Miracles within nature. Miracles where Hashem doesn't reveal Himself explicitly. And He does them Bizman Hazeh. And those same miracles are happening for us right now. But right now, we don't always have the full picture of the story. Rav Asher Weiss says that there's a minhag, it's in Shulchan Aruch, there's a minhag, Rav Asher Weiss explained it, that the Baal Kori reads the Megillah in Shul, he unravels the whole Megillah. You seen that? He unravels the whole Megillah. Why is he unraveling the whole Megillah? For what? So Rav Asher Weiss says, because even if you look at each individual story, so you might not realize the Yad Hashem. Right? That kid, when he was wandering in the forest and the bear got an arrow shot through his head, he's like, wow, I'm a lucky guy. If you look at each thing individually, you might not realize what's happening. So we unravel the whole Megillah. You should see there's a big story here. There's a Vayehi at the beginning and there's a Zaro at the end. There's a Shakai that's running out through the whole Megillah that Hashem is hiding in here. When you have a fuller perspective, you can see Hashem is there every step of the way. And it's no difference for us today. Bayomim Mahem Bazman Hazeh. The Chasam Sofer says... And the pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu when he says to Hashem, "Harini nas kvodecha," Hashem, show me your honor. Show me what it's like, Hashem, up there. And Hashem tells him, "Vraisa es achorai ufanai lo yirau." You can see my back, but you can't see my front. That's what Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Chasam Sofer, what does it mean? You can see my back, but you can't see my front. Chasam Sofer says a lot of times we look for Hashem in the world, and you can't see Hashem in the front. You can't see Hashem in the beginning of a process. We can't see why things are happening when they're happening. But v'ra'isa sachorai, when you get to the end of the process, when you can look at the bigger picture, when the whole Megillah is unraveled, so then you can see Hashem is right there. V'ra'isa sachorai, you can see me at the very end. And just to end off with the remez, another nice remez I saw in the Shvilei Pinchas, that he says, that the pasuk says, when Achashverosh asks Esther, you know, what can I do for you? You can ask for half the kingdom, I'll make it happen. So she says to him, Yavo Hamelech the Haman Hayom, the king and Haman should come today to the Mishnah, Asher Esalahem. So Yavo Hamelech the Haman Hayom is Rosh Tevos Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yavo Yud Hamelech Hey the Haman Vav Hayom Hey Yud Kei Vav Kei. And then afterwards, at the end of the Mishnah, when Achashverosh decides that Esther says, Haman is the one who's trying to have me killed, and Achashverosh gets angry and he steps outside, and then Haman falls on the bed and he begs Esther to have mercy on him, and Achashverosh walks in, he says, oh, you're trying to hagam lichlos shesamalka imin babayis, you also want to attack the queen with me right here in the house, and then Haman saw ki kalsa elav hara'a, that he's done for, kalsa elav, the evil has been finished on him, meaning he is done. Ki, kalsa, elav, hara, sofei tevos, the end of each word. Ki, yud, kalsa, hey, elav, vav, hara, hey, is yud, ke, vav, ke, again. That, like the pasuk says in Yishayahu, ani rishon, vani achron, Hashem says, I'm there in the beginning, in the yavo, hamelech, vahaman, hayom, vani achron, and I'm there at the end, ki, kalsa, elav, hara, umibaladai, ein elokin. Without me, there are no other gods. Hashem says, I am there, peeking through the cracks. I'm there in the beginning. I'm there at the end. I'm there the whole way through, if you know how to find me. Have a great day. Bye.